Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
The following proclamation was made by Governor Bradford in 1623, 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. 3 years after, and I every year I want to give a proclamation, something that was said by our founding fathers as to why we do what we do today. Here's what he wrote: "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims with your wives and your little ones do gather at your meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings." Now, I could go right back to Washington. There's a lot of different people who made proclamations about Thanksgiving. But what I'm here to tell you is this is something that's been a part of our founding of our country. And it's very important that we understand it's not just a day that we just say, well, let's thank our neighbors. No, I want you to get a hold of this: to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for his blessings. And I just want to make sure that we're always reminded of that. That's very, very important. Never get tired every year at Thanksgiving of it coming around. I'm looking forward to all the food too. I understand. This time of year, we do something with our clocks around this time of year, and we do something with our scales. Set them both back. 10, some 60, whatever. This Thursday is Thanksgiving, one day in which we will, like the early pilgrims, set aside time in our busy schedule. Anybody busy? Come on. Set aside time in our busy schedule. But I want you to understand, the Word of God tells us this should not just be once a year. This should be a daily activity in the Christian's life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, "Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Now, Paul is talking about a continual attitude for Christians. He didn't say once a year, when the United States of America is formed and they have this Thanksgiving Day. No, he's saying this is what we do as Christian people, a continual attitude, an attitude of the heart, how we are to be to each other, but ultimately how we are to be to God. You may wonder, how can I have this attitude continually in all circumstances? Well, I believe it is all in our attitude towards our perspective of Thanksgiving. How do we look at it? We've got to have the proper perspective of Thanksgiving for us to be able to do that, because to be thankful in all circumstances and not have a proper perspective, we go, "Oh, a minute, Pastor, you don't know the circumstances I'm in. How in the world could I be thankful in the circumstances I'm in?" Well, what I'm telling you is you can be thankful in any circumstance. It doesn't say thankful for the circumstance. It's thankful in the circumstance. You always got to understand that. That's very important. I can be in something and not be thankful that I'm in it, but I can be thankful while I'm in it. I can keep my attitude right, and I can have the proper perspective. And I believe that there are three attitudes that I'm going to talk about. And there may be more, but these kind of, as I was thinking about it, kind of really give us an overall picture of areas that steal our thankfulness. How many of y'all have "you better be thankful" teaching your kids? Or you say thank you. I mean, from a young child, it's so easy to get your thankful heart and attitude stolen from you. You just come in and you're expecting everything to be great. You walk in your house and you're realizing that you and your spouse are not seeing things eye to eye. Because they're doing this and he or she's doing this and you're off base and you're, whoa, what's going on here? And, oh God, I'm so thankful for my spouse. That's just not what comes about. You're just, oh man. And what I want you to know is that same attitude can come towards God when you're in circumstances. So when things aren't quite going the way you think they ought to, oftentimes it's the last resort when you turn to God. Okay, God. The first thing is, why am I having to go through this? Why am I having to deal with this? Well, here's the areas that steal. Let's just talk about these three. The first one is our pride. The second one could be a critical spirit. And the third one is carelessness. Now, let's just talk about each of these a little bit. Things that steal our attitude, our perspective on being thankful. The first one is our pride. This is the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. For years I've worked hard. You studied hard. You went to school and you got your job and now it's finally paying off. And I don't have to be anyone. I don't have to be thankful for no one but myself. I did it all. Now you go, well, that's not me. All right, that's kind of the extreme side of pride. But there's a side of pride that's still kind of like, you know, this is your attitude. Walking, everybody will be glad that I'm walking in the door this Thanksgiving. Oh, you saw my new outfit. That's egotistical. It may not come across outwardly like that, but in your mind, you got to watch that you're not, I am God's gift to everybody that's here. Pride. Or it can be the other side of that. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be home sitting in front of my TV. I don't like my family anyway. Extended family. I don't care anything about pride. See, pride comes in all forms. And what happens is when it starts being, come on, hear me, when it starts being all about you, you'll lose your attitude of being thankful. You'll lose your attitude. Boy, I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for being a part of this family. I'm so thankful for the food on the table today. I'm so grateful and on and on. That is not going to come out of you if you got a prideful attitude. And pride comes in many forms, but we got to watch our pride because it'll steal our thankfulness. Another one, number two, a critical spirit is another attitude that keeps us from being thankful. We could say someone who is constantly complaining. A constant complainer. Everybody knows these people. Don't poke somebody right now or hit your spouse. Instead of being grateful, this person always will find something to complain about. I read a story. A lady known as an incurable grumbler constantly complained about everything. At last, her preacher thought he had found something about which she would finally be happy, for her farm crop was the finest for miles around. And when he saw her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." "True, they're pretty good," she said, "but what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed the pigs?" Everything can be going great, and then you're sour because something didn't go bad. So I have actually met people like this. Here's the deal. I'm not trying to talk about other people. I'm trying to say, is this you right now? Is this me? And we've all been there. Everybody else is talking about how great things are, and they're just going to keep throwing in how, well, it's not that good. I mean, it's a beautiful day, but it's turning bad at some point. I mean, it's going to be winter. Good grief, it's November and it's already snowing. Come on. So I'm sure somebody said that yesterday morning. Take this snow and get rid of it. It's a beautiful day today. It's going to be upwards of 60 or 70 on Thursday. Yeah, but it's supposed to rain. It probably won't rain all day. But how are you looking at life? Are you constantly going to complain or are you going to say, oh, wait a minute here. Complaining steals your ability to be, are you getting this today? See, complaining steals your ability to be thankful. Number three, carelessness. Carelessness, the third attitude that keeps us from being grateful. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay up all night to watch them. And I thought about that statement, and I think it's true. But because they're here every night, we've grown so accustomed to them, we don't even pay attention to them anymore. See, but if they only came out once a year, you'd be like, oh, man, it's the night of the stars. So my mind goes weird places. I don't know if y'all's ever does that. But as I'm trying to think of examples, I want you to understand that we can get to a point in life where we're just careless about things. And when we start being careless about how we respond, how we act, how we see things, then we quit being thankful. Carelessness. The Israelites grumbled because they had no food. So God miraculously sent manna. Covered the ground each day except the Sabbath with it. Here you go, guys, got you something to eat. Then they grumbled because it was the same thing every day. They had a miracle straight from God every day, but they were no longer satisfied. And I start thinking about that. That's kind of the life of a Christian. You got a miracle every day of life, of the promises of God. You've got so many things going well for you, but yet we get up every day and we start grumbling. Well, we've all done it. Because of pride, because of carelessness, because of a critical spirit, there are times that we never walk in an attitude of thankfulness. Thanksgiving. The reason I'm talking about this today is because we've got to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Rudyard Kipling, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. He was a great writer, a poet. Most people have read one of his books, The Jungle Book. But anyway, he was unlike many old writers. Kipling was one of the few who had an opportunity to enjoy his success while he lived. He also made a great deal of money there while he was enjoying his success, which probably helped. One time a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." $100 a word. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached down into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me right now one of your $100 words." Mr. Kipling looked at the $100 bill. He took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket and said, "Thanks." He's right. The word thanks is definitely worth $100. In fact, I saw a little clip, and I was going to get it for you today, but I saw a guy on one of those videos that pops up, you know, on your computer for Facebook, and he was opening the door for somebody. I don't know if anybody saw this. He was opening the door for somebody, and the video caption was, "What you do when someone doesn't say thanks." And so he opened the door for this lady, and she walks out the door, and he was like, she didn't say thanks, you know. I mean, you can see the whole picture. And so he grabs her, throws her back in there, closes the door, and just walks off. That million-dollar word can reap great rewards. Thanks. It's one word that really is too seldom heard, too rarely spoken, and now too often forgotten. Thanks. If we would all adopt an attitude of thanksgiving into our lives, I really think we would savor each day, and each day would be more important. Today, I want to share with you three things. I already shared the three about what causes the disruption. Now I want to talk about three things that we learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. I think it's really important that we have the word making a difference. Luke 17, and you don't have to turn there, but we read about 10 men who were healed by Jesus of their leprosy. And everybody here has probably heard the story. One of those 10 men came back to give Jesus thanks after he was healed. And Jesus said, "Where are the other nine?" And he was the only one willing to go back and say thank you. And because of that, Jesus said to this one man out of the 10 that were healed, he said, "Hey, go, your faith has made you well." Well, I'm thinking, nine other ones got the same thing, but they didn't say thanks. Nine other ones got the same thing. What made him be able to say, Jesus be able to say to this one, "Go, your faith has made you well"? Here's the thing. We oftentimes only experience things in the physical, but there's a spiritual wellness to thanksgiving. And so the other nine were healed physically. This one was healed physically and spiritually because he knew where his thanksgiving went. See, have you ever wondered that? Because he was healed totally. He was made whole. Today, I want you to understand, being thankful in the right attitude can make a difference in your life. It can make a difference in your life. We are made whole by our thanksgiving. Psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. Being thankful is one of the most, it is one of the healthiest things you can do. Why? Because when you're sour and mad and frustrated, it affects your physical being. I know I've seen people who their attitude starts going sour and then their physical health starts going sour. We got to have an attitude of gratefulness. A thankful heart endears us to others and others to us. And see, that thankful heart ultimately needs to be to God. For you to see thanksgiving as not only good for the giver, but for the receiver. See, we got to see it both ways. God appreciates our thanksgiving. When we were worshiping this morning and you're singing out praises to him, can't you imagine him? I mean, God himself going, wow. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. Well, that means that he comes down and meets you in a very special way when your attitude's right on him. When your attitude's on him. Thanksgiving endears us to him. It draws us closer. If we're not grateful, if we don't express our thanksgiving, then it can have the opposite effect. Now, I want you to think about this. Romans 1:21. Let's read this. Let's just turn there. Romans 1:21. Says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Okay, they knew God. If they knew God, they're obviously talking to God's people here. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Well, I think about that, and I think, okay, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him. The passage seems to imply that people who are ungrateful to God will soon fall away. See, people who are ungrateful to God will soon fall away. Their hearts will become hardened. Let me just say this real simple. When you don't see God correctly to be thankful to him, then it's not very long that you quit seeing him. When you don't see God correctly and give him thanks for what's going on, that he has done, that he has made available, then you start falling away and you quit seeing him. We see pride coming from people, and pride keeps them from worshiping God and being thankful. Thanksgiving should be expressed. It should be expressed. That's the first point I'm talking about today. Thanksgiving should be expressed. Thanksgiving should be expressed. But so many people quit expressing their thankfulness to God, and then they start falling away. Come on, when you're grateful for what God's doing in your heart and life, and you're in church on Sundays and on Wednesday, and you're grateful, then you start expressing that gratefulness in your life. But watch this. The quickest way to turn you away from church, the things of God, the Bible, and intimate prayer time, the quickest way to turn you away from that is to quit being thankful. When you quit giving your thanksgiving to God, then you quit looking to him to answer needs and problems. You quit going to him for the response. You start looking to yourself. Are y'all getting this? I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying here, because it's very important that we are expressing. Thanksgiving must be expressed. It's got to be expressed. So you say, well, I'm thankful to God for what? Well, the time we spent together. You didn't spend any time with him. See, when you don't spend any time with God, then you can't be thankful for the time you spent with him. Just real logical. Well, I'm so thankful that we mended that relationship because I was able to forgive, and then I thank God for that forgiveness that they extended to me and I extended to them, and that friendship is healed and we're back in good. You didn't do that. See, if you didn't forgive, if you didn't accept the forgiveness that they were asking of you and that relationship doesn't get healed, then you're never thankful for that person. See, the only way you can be thankful is to keep that mindset of thankful. I got to find where I can be thankful for my wife, or before long, I'm frustrated with my wife. There's a thankfulness that I've got to be giving so that I can receive. When you serve in church, God, I'm so thankful for the service that I'm able to do and be a part of in this church. I don't serve in the church. Then you're never thankful for the service that you provide. So there's got to be a thing. Are y'all seeing this? In all of life, you can't express something that you're not a part of. Not just in church, but the plan of salvation. God, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I've never given my heart and life to Jesus. You need to do that so you can be thankful in your salvation. So all of these things, when you give God the best of whatever you're doing, then you can be thankful in that. When you praise him enthusiastically from the heart, God, I'm so thankful for you. I never praise him thankfully from my heart, so I'm not thankful for that. The only way you can be thankful is to provide an opportunity for thankfulness to take place. Not only should our thanks be expressed, number two, our thanksgiving should be expansive. This is a big word. Expansive, all-encompassing, all around. As our thanksgiving expands, it should include three things. The blessings of life. You know, I really love my wife. She's a very special lady. And my wife's going, oh, great, where are we going with this? She's just such a blessing to my life. And one thing that I really think is special about her is each evening she stands in our kitchen and says, God, thank you for this sink full of dirty dishes. Actually, she doesn't do that. Neither do I. I look at him and I think, I hope she washes those. She looks at him and thinks, nobody else is going to do this, so I eventually will have to. So I just know how we both think. And every once in a while, I can go in there, and we'll be there together. I got to make myself. Let's go stand at the sink, and let's wash these dishes. And then she'll come over there and help me. I'm like, why does she do that? She does this all the time, but yet she'll come and help me. And I'm thinking, oh, that's just so amazing to me that she would want to help me because she's grateful for what I normally don't do. And she's trying to reinforce a habit that I haven't developed yet. I got all that. None of that's in my notes. That just came out of my mouth. Neither one of us look at the dishes and say, I'm so grateful. But you know we should. We should. Well, why? Because a sink full of dirty dishes usually means that we have been blessed by God with daily food and our provisions for life. But how many look at their dishes and go, oh, I'm so grateful for all these dirty dishes. No, but I just, our attitude can get so quickly the other side of being thankful. We just miss it. Do you realize that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night? And we grumble about dirty dishes. And our prayers are often very general. We say, thank you, God, for all your blessings. God, thank you for all, and I'm guilty of this. Come on, we all are. God, thank you for all your blessings. And I'm sure sometimes God's going, well, which ones? Which ones? Come on, big boy, tell me. Which ones are you thankful for? And so I've really tried to work on being more specific. God, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful. See, I like it when my kids come up and say, Dad, I'm thankful for you. I appreciate that, and I like that. God, I mean, Dad, you're, I appreciate you. But I have countless, what do you appreciate about me? Why would you say that to your kids? I tell Tristan that all the time. Tell me what. And then she'll start naming them. And I'm like, the more she starts telling me, I'm like, yeah. And then I want to go bless her more so I can add to my list. No. You see what I mean? I want to go bless her more. Why? Because I love my daughter. God loves his children. God loves his children. Daughters. Yeah, you're not at home anymore. It's your responsibility, big boy. I'm glad you opened that door there, Ashlyn. I've been waiting to say that. No, just kidding. expansive. Our thanksgiving should be expansive. And we need to understand that it's very, very important to recognize the blessings of life and to recognize the burdens of life. Oh, wait, what are you talking about? Now, this is a tough one, but let's just visit for this on this for a second. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not for, but in all circumstances. Paul said several things that really show how he had the proper perspective on thanksgiving. In Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. I like Paul. He just kind of says that that's the way it is. That our present sufferings don't compare to what God has for us. Let me just give you a word of encouragement today, church. Regardless of what you're going through, it don't compare to what you're getting ready to experience in the things of God. See, you got to stand on that promise. 2 Corinthians 12:10. That is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, and in difficulties. This verse is difficult to understand if you don't get this next part. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. God, I'm thankful that while I'm in this, my strength is from you. See, there's a way that we can get the proper perspective. Philippians 1:12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. That's what Paul said. Hey, what has happened to me? What happened to him? Thrown in prison, beat, all this junk that Paul had to go through. Hey, what I wanted to tell you guys, look what this has done for the gospel. When we're going through something, and just trust me, in life, we're in a fallen world, we're all going to go through something. When that something comes, do you have the attitude? This right here will just advance the gospel. This will advance the gospel. Ooh, it's hard to think like that, but we got to be reminded of the word so that we have the proper perspective. So when we have the proper perspective, then we can give God thanks in all circumstances. We got to keep that mindset. I never thought I'd say this, but I have learned to be thankful in the difficult circumstances that my family has faced. And I'm not saying for them, not all of them were fun to go through, but in them, I'm thankful that in them, I was able to brag on God. I don't believe Paul is saying that you need to be thankful for your problems. Please hear me, Keith. So you don't got to be thankful for your problem that you've had. But isn't God faithful and good? What he's done the last 2 years? Oh, man! So I'm not saying you're thankful for the problem. Grandpa, on a Wednesday night, stumbling in, barely able to stand. For those of you here that Wednesday night, I'm not thankful for that. But I'm thankful that in all of that, how many people were touched up at the hospital, ministering, talking to people. Never seen the joy of the Lord in a man's life. God, I'm so thankful for what you're able to do in a circumstance. I'm not thankful for a brain situation that goes on in the Garby's life and all that Ben and Angela had to go through. Good grief, that's kids having to do. They were young. Some of them won't even remember some of that, but grief. God, thank you for this affliction. No. God, my body's going to come in line with the word, and you're going to get glory for it, and it'll advance your kingdom. That's exactly what happened. Seeing thankfulness in the circumstances, in the middle of them. Are y'all seeing what life deals a bunch of junk. I understand that, but you can still be thankful in that junk. The last one here, not the last, I'm not in expansive, the three things, is that you got to look at the expansiveness of being thankful as the benefits of life. There's a lot of benefits of life. You know, when the Israelites focused on what they didn't have, they failed to see what all they did have. Let me say that again to make sure we all get it. When the Israelites focused on what they didn't have, they failed to see what they did have. When they focused on, oh man, I'm tired of manna every day. When they focused on that, then they failed to see, God, thank you that I have food every day. So when you focus on the wrong thing, we're constantly adding to our prayer list, but we ought to be adding to our praise list. God, I need this. I need this prayer. I need this prayer. I'm not saying that you're not needing to pray about that. What I'm saying is, what are you praising him about? Let's praise our way out of this prayer list. Let's praise our way up. We've all had difficult times. And I mean, maybe at times it was an attack even on life itself, but if we really look at all the benefits of life, I think that you could say today it's good to be alive. Come on, it's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. To be able to watch a sunrise, to be in love, to see our newborn child for the first time. I mean, to feel our child or our parent or even a friend hug us and tell us, you're special. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. An experiment was done in New York's Central Park where an advertising firm dressed a man up as a blind man, gave him a cup to collect money, and they put a sign around his neck that read, I'm blind. On that day, they wanted to see how much he would collect. This sign around his neck said, I'm blind. On that day, he collected $4. $4 in this cup. The next day in the city park, Central Park, they dressed him the same way, placed him in the same place, but changed the sign to read, it's spring and I'm blind. That day, he collected over $40. What's the difference? See, the people realized how blessed they were as they're walking through the park and going, it's spring and I'm enjoying all this and this guy can't see it. And all of a sudden he got, so our eyes and our focus sometimes is on the circumstances and we don't get thankful for nothing. But when we can open our eyes and see the blessings instead of the circumstance, when they just look at him as a circumstance, they weren't as willing. But when they saw all the blessings, all of a sudden they had a reason to be thankful and grateful for where they were. As Christians, there are other benefits of life. Come on, we're forgiven, we're free, as the song said this morning. We're forgiven and we're free. Man, it's good to be alive. Not only should our thanksgiving be expressed, should be expansive, but it's got to be understood that it is expected. Thanksgiving is expected. It's expected. Paul says that we are to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will in Christ Jesus. Well, what do you mean it's God's will? Yes, it's God's will for you to be thankful. And parents, it needs to be your will that your kids are thankful. Well, what do you mean? If he knows that it's his will for us and we know it's his will and we don't, what are we doing? We're being disobedient when we're not thankful. When we're not thankful. This is a mark of a growing Christian. The more you grow in Christ, the more thankful you are for the things of God. Come on. The more you grow in Christ, the more thankful you are. As an example, McKinley walking out right now. A baby is very ungrateful. Mom has everything she needs right here. This couldn't have worked out better, McKinley. I appreciate you doing this. See, you can take a little baby when they're crying. You can walk the floor. You can play with them for hours. You can feed them. You can do everything they need. And when you lay them down, my guess is Jonathan, when she lays him down, is not going to go, thanks, Mom. Nope. He's just going to start crying again until everything's exactly the way he wants it. And the less it gets that way, the more louder he's going to get. And then Mom's going to do that and get out of it. See, it just doesn't come naturally. Sometimes you have to force a child to say thank you. I have watched this same parents in BJ and McKinley. They're quite amazing. Jolynn, say thank you. And she'll thank you. Look at her. Oh, she just said thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Jolynn. You got to force a child to say thank you until they start saying it automatically. But here's the thing. Just forcing them only work for so long until it becomes an attitude of their heart. And then they start saying it because they truly are grateful. Some of us, today this sermon might just be force yourself to say thank you. Get some self-discipline and say thank you until it becomes a matter of your heart. So, my parents never taught me. Well, I'm telling you right now all about this from the Word of God. And this needs to be our attitude. Be thankful, be grateful in all circumstances. It's God's will. It's God's will for you. And he's not going to reach down and grab your head and say, tell that person thank you. See, he's not going to do that. You have to take the responsibility. Young people, tell your parents thank you. And if you don't, parents grab their head and tell, make them say thank you. Well, that just takes something away. No, it puts the right thing in. It don't take anything away. It puts the right thing in your child. To get them saying thank you, when someone says something and they don't say thank you, well, he didn't want to say thank you, so I'm not going to make him. You're the problem. Are you kidding me? Pastor, I can't believe you just said that. No, that's exactly what needs to happen. We teach our children an attitude of thanksgiving. And then when they come to the place where they recognize they need Jesus as Lord, then that attitude becomes a part of their heart. And then they start experiencing God in a profound way. That's the way it works. Hmm. So it's expected, huh? Yep. It's a mark of a giving Christian. When we realize how much God has done for us, how much he continues to do, we should be more than happy to give something back to him. And praise is one of the first things and should be the easiest. This comes through our time, through our financial giving, through a lot of different avenues. Someone has said, and I like this, for Thanksgiving to be a real Thanksgiving, there must be a thanks and there must be a giving. A thanks and a giving. It's a mark of a giving Christian. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. So we get our heart right. A glowing Christian will be walking in this because they know it's an expectation. If you're thankful to God, then you'll be glowing. You'll not constantly be critical and pessimistic, but eternally thankful. Through difficult times, they won't break you. They'll just be an avenue for God to show himself miraculous. See, I'm expecting that. That's why I can thank you, God, in the middle of this junk. Because I'm expecting you to deliver me. And if you don't, I'm expecting heaven to be an awesome place. So you got to have the right expectation. And if it's not in thanksgiving, then you might want to check your expectation. Paul said, and this is the last verse in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Church, today, be thankful for what you've not seen come in yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Three things that keep us from being thankful. Our pride, our critical spirit. Come on, y'all get that this morning? Our pride, our critical spirit, and carelessness. And then the three points today. Thanksgiving is expressed. It's expansive, and it's expected. And it's expected. We've got to live like that. Let's make these three points to get today. Let's make that a part of our life, and let's celebrate Thanksgiving to the Lord this week in front of everybody and make him famous. Y'all get it today?
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.